Today's shiur is dedicated for Refuah Shleimah, for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shiur is Masechet Nedarim, Daf Samech Daled, and we begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, the new perek. It says the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Poischen L'Adam B'Chvod Avo V'Imo. We know that the Torah HaKadosh says, Ish Kiyid a Neder, a person makes a Neder, the Torah says, L'Yachal Dvaroi. And we learn from that, Layachal Dvarai, why may not profane what he said. When he made a nether, as we've been learning throughout our Masechta, the halacha is that we have to take those nedarim extremely seriously. However, the halacha is aval cherim meichlim loy. Following the proper procedure, one can go to the Rav and giving him the reasons why he made the nether under the wrong pretenses. And when the Rav accepts his explanation, he will be matan neder for him. The Rishonim point out that the cases that we are going to be discussing in our Mishnah don't refer to a situation of charata. Charata means to regret. And as we've learned earlier in our Masechta, there is a question if charata is a legitimate way of being matan neder. By saying that I regret that I made the nether in the first place, is that a legitimate way to annul the nether? If it is, then the issue that's raised here in today's shiur is really not that pertinent. Because if the person just walks in and says he has charata, he regrets having said the nether, so the nether is going to be nullified based on that. Rather, the Mishnah here is speaking about where a person makes a Pesach. And the definition, as we have learned and will learn in our Perek, of a Pesach, is that the person indicates that he didn't recognize the repercussions of what he said and did by making the nether. And the Mishnah begins by saying, Poischen Aviv B'Kvod Avo V'Imo. And then many pshatim offered by the Rishonim, what does that mean? Some explain that what the Pesach means to say is, had you realized that by you making this nether, people would speak badly about your parents, that they would say, Nebuch, they raised a child who is not careful about nedarim, would you have made a nether? And he says, of course, I would never made a nether, if I would have realized that has the repercussion of my nether. Another pshat is that people would say to your father, look at the son that you have, and it would cause your father embarrassment that people would say that this is the kind of child that he has and it will hurt my father. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is they would have said that where did it come that your child, your son, should not be treating the Dharm with the seriousness the way they should be treated. He must have seen that behavior at home by his parents, which of course would make the parents feel very bad. Or another pshat that the Rambam says, that they tell his parents that you have made us upset with this whole situation, and when the son who made the nether hears that the parents are being accused of this, he backs off from the nether. So Rabbi Elazar says that these are all acceptable reasons. The Chachamim's opinion is, the Chachamim, as we're going to say, are concerned that this person doesn't really regret the nether. But when he's faced with this type of a question, he, of course, is going to say, never was it my intention to do this to my parents with the nether. And therefore, we need to be concerned that he's not sincere in what he's saying. And since we need to be concerned that he's not sincere about what he's saying, that's why we can't trust this Pesach. Which opens up an interesting question. The Shalos HaTshuvos Arugas HaBaisim, Ayre Chaim Simen Yotes, discusses that what is the halacha in a situation where a father tells a child to do something which is not a direct violation of an mitzvah, it's not a direct violation of doing it, it doesn't actually represent doing an Aveira, but it's something positive that the son is doing. Is the father allowed to do it? And the question that he discusses is, there's a son who goes to the mikvah on a regular basis, and his parents, and they have good reason, because they don't want him, they're worried he's going to get sick from going to the mikvah. And the question is that, can the father stop him? We can't say that it's a black and white question, because it's not like the father's telling him to do something which halachically is forbidden, or tell him not to do something which is halachically mandated. Says Darugas Abaisim, if the custom where this son lives is that people who are careful in people who are careful in the way they behave and try to do things properly go to the mikvah, the halacha is that is the kind of a neder that a father cannot stop a child from keeping. But now there's an interesting question. Here we just spoke the machlokes, the chachamim, and Rebbe Lezer, the paischin b'kvod av v'imay. And the question is, how does the halacha look at adoptive parents? The Chashukei Chemed frames this question in a very interesting way. He says there was a couple who got divorced, and their son was left with the mother, and the mother got remarried, and her husband raised this son literally like his own son. He treated him like a son, and he raised him as a son. And this son of the original husband took on the name of the second husband, and there was very little, or essentially no connection between the son and his natural father. The son grew up, Baruch Hashem, and now he's about to get married, and his father, his natural father, shows up, and they sort of reconnect, reunite, and the father, his natural father, asks him, what family name do you go by? And he goes by the family name of his stepfather. And the father says to him, I want you to use our family name. And he says to him, it's Kibbutz Avim. I'm your father. That man is not your real father. And the Torah says, Kibbutz Avim. What is the halacha? So he says that the son does not have to change his name. First of all, he quotes the famous Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia, Taflam Megimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, Avidas Rabbi, Avidas Rabbi Kademus. So if somebody finds something that belongs to his father and something that belongs to his Rebbe, he should first return it, and he only can return one. He says he should return the Rebbe's Aveda. Because as the Gemara explains, Sherabbi Shalom Dei Chochma Vil Lechayla Eilam Habab. That's your one that brought the Chaim Eilam Habab. And this stepfather who raised him to be what he is and to be a Torah Jew, is the one that brought him Chaim Eilam Habab. He precedes the obligation to respect the true father. Moreover, he says that the father, there's a concept of Hakara Sotayv. The Achiv of Hakara Sotayv. That here you have a man that wasn't his natural father and raised him as if he were his own son, requires that he should show that level of respect to that man. And if he wants him to be called on his name, and he's been called all these years on that name, for the natural father to come now and say that that I want you to take our name is not halakhically required. And then he discusses another shaila. He says that we know that when somebody becomes a ger, he's called Avram ben Avram. What happens when somebody has a Jewish father and a non-Jewish mother? So halakhically, that individual is not a Jew. And if he wants to be part of the Jewish people, he has to be Megayer, he has to convert. So you had such a individual who was Megayer, but his father is Jewish. So now, his father, his real father, who is a Jewish individual, wants when he's called up to the Torah, let's say this father's name is Reuven, he wants him to be called up Avram Abavram. But he wants, but the halacha says that a ger, as I said, is Ray is called up Avram ben Avram. So how should he be called up? So he says that he says a very similar concept to the concept that we just discussed. He says if his natural father, even though he doesn't halachically considered related to his father, because we know the halacha always says ger shen is gayer kikotn shenayla dami, says if his natural father raised him, and ultimately Baruch Hashem he became a full-fledged Jew through Geiris, so he has an obligation of Akaras HaTayiv to his natural father. And since he has an obligation of Akaras HaTayiv to his natural father, then the halach is that he should, the halach is that he can be called up to the Torah, not as Avram ben Reuven, not as Avram ben Avram, but rather Avram ben the name of his natural father. The question that he leaves sort of ambiguous is what happens if this person, the sker, gets married and we need to write the ksuba. What should be written in the ksuba? What should be written in the ksuba? Maybe we should avoid writing the ksuba his father's name because halachically it should say Avram ben Avram. On the other hand, it could create a very embarrassing situation for his father. So he suggests that the ksuba should be written Avram ben Avram, but when the ksuba is read under the chuppah, the person who's reading the ksuba should sort of swallow those words, mumble those words, so it shouldn't be obvious that he's not being called by his father's name under the ksuba, under the chuppah. Amar Reb Tzadik says, Reb Tzadik, Asher Paisim Mekfayt Aviv Imay, given all the reasons why we said that when somebody makes a neder, Kavod Aviv Imay can be used as a basis for a Pesach, Paischen, we should have a different Pesach. Paischen, B'Kvayd Amakam. We should speak about the embarrassment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has when somebody makes a neder. Particularly, as we've been learning throughout our Masechta, HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually frowns upon us making nedarim. So when somebody makes a neder, he's going against the wishes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Particularly, as the Rosh quotes a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi said that we learned in our Masechta that technically one may make a neder that even though, which will say that he won't do a mitzvah. So certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy with that neder. So that should be a valid Pesach. If Kavod Aviv V'Imoy is a valid Pesach, certainly this should be a valid Pesach. Amrloi, to which they said, Im Kain Ein Nedarim. Every neder, as we just said, represents something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to do. So if every time you could say that this neder violates what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, so then we're going to be left without nedarim. And says the Gemara, however, even though Chacham had begun our Shia today by telling us that Kavod Aviv V'Imoy is not a valid Pesach, they do agree, but he said something that affects their relationship between the son and the father, between the son and the parents. There we could certainly say that we could say to him, if you realized that by doing this neder, the halacha is, by doing this neder, it would affect your relationship, then the halacha is that, of course, the neder is could be a Pesach. There is a discussion in the Ran, if this concept, a Paischem Kvayt Ava V'Imoy, is only as long as the parents are alive, or does this concept, the Paischem Kvayt Ava V'Imoy, apply even when the parents aren't alive? Continues the Mishnah. V'adam Rabbi Leza, Paischem B'Noilad. We could use a circumstance that wasn't there at the time of the neder. The classical example of Paischem B'Noilad is where somebody made a neder that he wouldn't have benefit from especially from a certain individual. And then it turns out that we may, and then it turns out that that individual ends up being a cipher. That individual ends up being a doctor to whom he has to come to. And we tell him, had you known that this individual that you made an edit that you won't have any benefit from is going to be a doctor that you need to use, is going to be a cipher that you need to use, then would you have made the nether? And he says no. So that's noilad. That was a situation, that was a circumstance that wasn't here at the time of the nether. And we have here machloikis, if that's a legitimate way of making a Pesach. The reason that the Chacham hold that it's not a legitimate way of saying a Pesach is because what are we doing when we say a Pesach? When we say a Pesach, we're saying to the person, well, maybe you didn't think it through when you made the nether. But here, even if he would have thought it through, he wouldn't have changed his mind. Because this person at that time wasn't a cipher. The person at that time wasn't a doctor. And therefore, it's not considered a valid Pesach. Because the Rambam, taking this position a step further, because he's not, the point of a Pesach is speaking to the nether. The person who comes with a noilad is speaking about something, is not regretting the nether. He's not regretting anything. The situation of the world changed, and that doesn't speak to the actual nether. Of course, there's a very big discussion amongst the Paiskim, what is included or not included in noilad. And the Paiskim and the Rishonim seem to say that the way to make this determination is anything that could have possibly happened, even though it's not likely to happen, is already enough to be considered noilad. We used that example when we learned the sugya of Rabbi Kiva, where his father-in-law, Kalba Savua, made a nether that my son-in-law, Rabbi Kiva, and his daughter, Rachel, won't have any benefit from him because he was upset that Rachel married Rabbi Kiva, who was an Amoritz at the time of the marriage. And then Rabbi Kiva, we know, as we learned the sugya twice, once in Amasakta, once in Masakta Ksubis, ended up being the great Rabbi Kiva. And he went to Rabbi Kiva himself to have the nether annulled, to find the Pesach. And he said, if I would have known that you could learn even the most minimal thing, of course I would have never made the nether. But the truth is, at the time that the nether made, Rabbi Kiva hadn't learned anything yet. So why isn't that considered noilad? So Taisa says a very big chiddush. Even though at the time the nether was made, Rabbi Kiva had not studied anything yet, but he had already gone to yeshiva. And since he had already gone to yeshiva, says Taisus, anybody goes to yeshiva and takes his studies seriously will be a Talmud Chochem. And that's enough to make the nether not considered a noilad. What we see from him here is that noilad is a situation where I had no way of anticipating that this would be the situation. We have a person, I sit next to him in shul. Where would I think that this person is becoming a doctor? That's called noilad. But if I sit next to somebody in shul who isn't currently a Talmud Chacham, but he's trying to learn, and he ultimately becomes a Talmud Chacham, that isn't considered noilad. Ketzad. I'm a kainim, shani nene lish plani. I'm not going to have a noil from this plani soon. And devin nasa cipher, he becomes two pshatim drushonim. Some say he becomes a cipher, as we've been learning. Some say he becomes a Talmud Chacham. Oshamisiyas benoi. Somebody was marrying off his son, and they used to sit at Sheva Brachas. Vomer, and the person who made the nether says, Ila yudis yudei shuhu nasa cipher. Oshamisiyas benoi bekarav. If I would have known that this person is going to be making the Sheva Brachas, that everybody from the city is going to attend, or he's going to make a Kiddush and Shul on Shabbos, that everybody's going to attend, Lo Yisi Neder, I would have never made the nether, even though at the time when he made the nether, he wasn't a cipher, there wasn't any thinking about him making the Sheva Brachas, it's still enough to be, that's a Noilad, and that's the case we have the machloikus. So the Rosh points out, what's the case of Messias Benoi that the Mishnah is teaching us, and that the Mishnah felt the need to teach us that case, and it wasn't adequate just to mention the case of Nasa Seifer. So the Rosh says a very nice pshat. The Rosh says the case of Messias Benoi is that I knew that this person has a son. And I knew that this person is ultimately going to make a Sheva Brachas. But I didn't think it's so imminent. So now the question is that considered Noiler or not? On one hand, I know he has a son. And I know somebody who has a son is going to Mitzvah Shem make Sheva Brachas. On the other hand, I wasn't thinking that this is going to happen anytime soon. And the Mishnah teaches us that that is considered Noiler. The Mishnah gives another example of Noiler. Somebody said, he made a neder, I'm not going to walk into this house. And then, that shul, that house becomes a shul. And he says, Omar, had I known that this house would become a shul, because Rabbi Lezer considers it a noilad, even though it's considered a noilad, as we just learned, Rabbi Lezer is not bothered by noilad being used as a Pesach, because Chum hold that it's not noilad. So the Mukri Yosef says that the case that we're speaking about when he said Ba'yizeh, because when he said Ba'yizeh, he meant that this house I can't walk on into under any circumstances. But if he would have said Ba'yiz, Beischa, my house, if so, I would have said I'm not walking into your house. So as we learned earlier in the Masechta, if the house now became a shul, it's no longer Beischa. It's no longer your house. And therefore, it would not be considered a violation of the neder, me walking into this house. Why does the Mishnah mention all three cases? So we mentioned why the Mishnah taught us the case of Messias Benoi. And the reason the Mishnah mentions Venasa Basic Netzes, what's the Chiddush in this case, explains the Meiri that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that even if it's a Dvar Mitzvah, I want to be able to walk into this house because this house has now become a shul. And maybe therefore, even though it's a case of Noilad, maybe the Chachamim will be lenient and allow it to be used as a Pesach. Teaches us the Mishnah, the Chachamim don't accept that as an example, and it's Noilad and you can't use it for a Pesach. So we learned that Rabbi Lezer said, if we're going to allow Kfoid HaMokim, Chachamim said, if we're going to allow Kfoid HaMokim to be something to think about by Nedarim, Ein kein ein adorim. Ask the Gemara, my ein adorim. What did the Mishnah mean with that statement? Amar bai im kein. If this would be a legitimate Pesach, ein adorim, the Taran Yofa. There will never really be a good way to be Mata Nedar. Why? Because, explains the Ram, if the person comes into the Rav to be Mata Nedar, and the Rav asks him, do you know that making this Nedar would cause distress to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So maybe the truth is he doesn't really care. But who's the person that's going to tell the Rav that I don't care that this bothers HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And what's going to happen is that people will say something which is not true, simply out of embarrassment, and the whole pretense on which we had at Taras Nadarim won't be a good way, won't be accurate and won't be honest. Rashi gives another pshat. If this is going to become a legitimate way of being matir neder, then the entire process, the entire procedure of people going to the Rav, which as we started the shiur today, is essential. That procedure, that process is what the halacha requires us to do when we want to be matir neder. People aren't going to do it. They're just going to be matan neder on their own. Because they say, we know that kfar ha-mokoyim is a good way to be matan neder. But the Torah requires that we should go to the Rav. And therefore, in order to make sure that that is continued to be done properly, they disallowed hataras nedarim based on kavod chacham. V'rav amar im kein, ein nedarim l'sham l'chacham. Like we just said, people are going to, on their own, believe that the nedarim, because of kavod ha-mokoyim, aren't a good nether. And therefore, we want to avoid that. Tanan, but we learned, says the Gemara in the Mishnah, Ma'ad Chamul Rebbe Lezer, B'davish She'beinoy L'bein Ova V'imoy, if the nether that was stated reflects, affects the relationship between the husband, the father, between him, the one who made the nether, and his parents, then Paiskel Le'bekvayt Ova V'imoy. So the Gemara drills down. Bishlam L'bayit Amma Im Kein Ein Adarim Yofar, that were concerned, as we explained, that he's not going to be honest when he's asked if you would have realized that this would cause disrespect to your parents. We have a person who made the nether and it didn't bother him that he's making a nether that disrespects his parents. So when this question is going to be asked of him, he's going to be honest. Because saying that I don't care about disrespecting my parents is obviously something that is part of his lifestyle. Ever Ella Rav the Amar, Im Kain Ein Adam Nesham L'Chacham. Everybody's going to say on their own that this is not a good nether, that a nether that shows disrespect automatically becomes null and void. So why is this acceptable when it was a nether about the parents? Amri, says the Gemara, Kivin the Kol Nidri L'Sagid L'Av Chacham. If we're not using Kavan HaMakom as a Pesach, so that means the only time we can have a Pesach is when the nether affected the parents, which in reality, of course, we hope, most Nadarim aren't made that affect the relationship between the son and the parents. So that means most Nadarim, people are still going to the Rav to be Matan Nedar. Kivin the Kol Nidre, L'Sagid L'Av Chacham, since all Nadarim are Nadarim that people have to go to the Rav, Hachinami, even though here he'll say, well, this should fall apart by itself, but since they're so accustomed that they always go to the Rav, they'll go to the Rav with this one too, and therefore we don't have to be concerned. V'Amar Reb Elazar, as we discussed, Paiskim V'Noilad. My Tamid Reb Elazar, ask the Gemara, as the Rosh explained, that the Rabbanan's explanation why Noilad, as we discussed it when we learned the Mishnah, makes a lot of sense. Because I didn't think about this, and I couldn't think about this when I made the Neder. So the Gemara's question is, why would Rabbi Elazar disagree with Rabbanan? Answers the Gemara, Amar Chizda Makro, we found the Pasuk says, V'yam Hashem HaMoshe V'midyan, Lech Shuv Mitzrayim, Kimesu Kol HaNoshem HaVakshim HaSnoshechem. Why does the Pasuk have to say, Kimesu Kol HaNoshem HaVakshim HaSnoshechem? Because Moshe Rabbeinu had made a shvua to his father-in-law, Yisrael and Midian, because Yisrael was very concerned to allow Moshe Rabbeinu to return to Mitzrayim. Dos and Aviram were Moshe Rabbeinu's arch enemies. And Moshe Rabbeinu had made a shvua that to Yisrael that he's not going back to Mitzrayim because Yisrael knew about these people and what they could do to him because of their enmity to him. Now, the question is, so Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you don't have to worry, the nether is off because they passed away. But ask the Gemara, Misa the Noilahu. Misa is Noilad. At the time that the nether was made, they weren't alive. They were alive. So if he says Rabbi Elazar, from here we see, Mikan Shepaiskim Noilad, that you can make a nether of Noilad. How do we know it's Dosan Aviram? So the Rishonim all explain that whenever we find in the history of Klal Yisrael, Mitzrayim and the Midbar, people who were causing trouble for Moshe Rabbeinu, they're always Nosen and always considered, they're always Yosen and Aviram. Says the asked the Nuka Yosef that when didn't Yisrael tell Moshe Rabbeinu Loich L'Shalom? So obviously, Yisrael was Matan Neder. So why is the Pasuk have to be concerned about how Moshe Rabbeinu is going to get out of the Neder? So the Mukhe Yosef answers that when Moshe Rabbeinu made the Neder to Yisrael, he made it for two reasons. One reason is because Yisrael requested of him that he should make this Neder. And the other reason is that Moshe Rabbeinu, on his own, because of his fear of Dosan and Avir, made this Neder. So yes, Yisrael, by telling Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech L'Shalom, had been Matan Neder. But that was only the element of the Neder that he had made in response to Yisrael. But there's the other part of the Neder, and that's the Neder that he had made on his own, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you don't need to be worried about that. Kimesu Kol HaNoshim. Rabbanan, so ask the Gemara, so we have a great precedent to show that Paiskim V'Noilad. How will the Rabbanan respond? Rabbanan Mai Tamayu, answers the Gemara, Asar Rahani Kimaisu, did they really die? Asked him, Avam Rav Yochanan Shimon Rav Shimon Yechai, Kamakom Shenegem Nitzav Nisavim, as we mentioned a moment ago, wherever the Torah speaks about people who are fighting, quarreling with Moshe Rabbeinu, and El Dosan Vavirim. They were Dosan Aviram. So they were the Dosan Aviram that we find in Mitzrayim, and they were the Dosan Aviram that were around in the time of Korach. El Amar Ish Lakish, says the Gemara, what does the Pasuk mean when it says Kamesu? Shiyodu Min Chaseim. They lost all of their money, and Ani Chashiv Kames. Says the Gemara, and that's why you don't have to worry for them. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu was, since they had lost their money, they have no influence. And once they have no influence, you don't have to be worried about them. Amar Shimon Levi. And so now, thou the Rabbanan say, as relevant to our sugya, that this is not a case of Noilad. Because people do lose their money. And since people do lose their money, it's not considered a case of Noilad that Moshe Rabbeinu could not have anticipated that when he made the nether. People also die. So maybe they died. So first of all, we now know that they didn't die. But even if they died, even though unfortunately everybody's going to pass away, that's not considered something that's likely to happen as the halakha is concerned. Amar Shimon Levi, kol adam she'ein lo banim, any person who unfortunately has no children, choshev kames. Shenemar, haveli banim, Rachel tells Yaakov Avinu, haveli banim v'ayim meis anoichi. V'tanya abach shum kames, there are four people that are considered like a dead. Ani umetzoyer v'sumu mi she'ein lo banim. Ani deksiv, we have an our parasha kames called Noshim. Mitzayir deksev al no kasi kames. Miriam, Moshe Rabbeinu speaking about, the Aaron speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu about Miriam. And he says, our sister should not be like a dead person because she was mitzaras. Suma deksev mechashani. The pasuk says, necha be mechashkim hoshivani kamesei oilam. Misha el banim deksev holy banim, as we just quoted the pasuk by Rachel, vim ayim mesa noichi. So why do we say that from all these options, Dasan Avira must have become poor? Maybe there was one of the other options. So the Ran explains. Eloi Bonim, that the fact that they did or didn't have children, what is the concern? The concern is that they still have influence over Paroi. If they do or don't have children, doesn't play a role in their ability to have influence over Paroi. Similarly, the point that they were Mitzayra can't be true because they were Bekerev HaMachna. The Pasuk says, at the time of the story of Korach, they were Bekerev HaMachna. So I saw the Mepharshim ask, yes, they were Bekerev HaMachna at that time because at the time of Kabbalah Satira, everybody was healed. So maybe they were Mitzrayim and that not in Torah they were healed. To which the Rishonim reply that at the time of Matan Torah, everybody was healed. Unfortunately, after the Chet HaEgel, everybody came back to their disease that they had before Matan Torah. So if they had this disease before, if they had this disease of Mitzayra, they would have been Mitzrayim at the time of Korach, yet the Pasuk says, Bekerev HaMachna. We can't say they were blind, because the Pasuk says that they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ha'eino ha'noshim ha'heim tanakar, will you poke out their eyes? So obviously, they had eyesight. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to say, Eina Noshim Haim Tanakir. So we're only left with one option. And what is the one option that we're left with? That was, that they left with the option that they were Ani, and that's why they were considered Kames. The Shal Shachuvas Yachi Yisrael says, why is a Suma considered like he's a Mace? So he has a very interesting approach to this. He says that the person in those days, particularly who was blind, really lived in a very dangerous life because he couldn't see anywhere that he could go. And because of that, he was considered kames because he was locked into his home. Going out was just very dangerous. Our Gemara used a very strong lesson that oni choshev kames. And I saw that the Mepharshim point out what could a person do to prevent from falling, Rachman Tzlan, to becoming an Ani, from becoming a poor person, which as we're learning in our sugya now, Ani Choshev Kmeis. So I saw that the Mefarshim say that the skula to preventing Anias is davening in a shul. Of course, davening in a shul where there is a minyan, but even if you live in a community, or whatever the situation is, whatever the circumstances are, that there is no minyan when you need to daven, or where you need to daven, but there is a basic knesses where you could enter. A basic knesses is the place where it prevents us from anias. The pasuk says, "V'hiu chai sara mei shana, v'esrim shana v'sheva shana, shnei chai sara." So the Kedusha Salevi explains that the pasuk says that Rachel said, as we just quoted the pasuk, "Vim ayin meisa nachi," that a woman is only considered alive as long as she has children. When she unfortunately doesn't have children, she's not considered alive. We know the Gemara says Rashi, Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amud Aleph. Rashi quotes in the Chumash that Kadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, "Say metz digninus lecha, sorai loy teled, sorai teled." That means sorrow was born as an individual who unfortunately cannot have children. But Sarai, by becoming Sarah, changed herself. Through her tefillah, through her actions, she became Vayihi Chai Sarah. What the pasuk says, that Vayihi Chai Sarah, that Sarah caused that she should have Chai Sarah. That through her actions and through her life, she caused that she should have Shnei Chai Sarah, that she should have life. We could bring we through our tefillah and we through our ma'asim tovim could change our life. And in fact, I saw a very interesting psak from the Chashuki Chemer on this sugya. He says, if unfortunately there is an individual, a man who can't have children, but he's looking for a shidduch, so he's look and there's a woman, a young woman obviously, who is able to have children. But she's willing to marry him. He questions strongly if such a shidduch, if one should go through with such a shidduch. He says, because as our Gemara just taught us, that someone who doesn't have children is considered like a mace. Someone without children is considered that he doesn't really have a life. So even though this woman is saying openly, I'm prepared to live without children, it's very difficult to assume that that's going to be the case. And therefore one has to really carefully think if they should enter into such a shidduch. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, like we say it in Hallel, La'omus ki'echya, says the Sefer Yitaponim, La'omus, I'm davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the La'omus, that I shouldn't have anything that makes me fall into the category of a mace. I shouldn't, chas v'shalom, be blind. I shouldn't, chas v'shalom, not have children. I shouldn't, chas v'shalom, be a metzora. Lay omus. All these things that make us be considered omus, anything that makes us be considered like I'm not alive, is not, I should not have. I should be zoicha. We daven in the hallel. Ki echya. That all the things that make us be considered alive, having children, having money, not chas v'shalom being blind, not chas v'shalom being a metzora, every one of us should be zoicha to ki echya.